Chapter 27. The Modaini Smoking Club's windows were Plangen plate glass cut into wedges and fanciful zoomorphic shapes. If you looked at the shapes in the glass, you could ignore the outside world completely, which was the point. If you looked at the shapes, you wouldn't notice the bars on the other side of the window. Kylar stood at that window, staring through those bars at the girl down in the Sidlin market. She was bargaining with a vendor for produce. Doll girl, Eileen, was growing up, perhaps 15 years old, now that Kylar was 18. She was beautiful, at least from this safe distance. From here he could see her body, supple curves, clad in a simple serving dress, her hair pulled back and shining gold in the sun, and the flash of an easy smile. Though he couldn't make out her scars from this distance, through the colored glass, her white dress was blood red. The leaded zoomorphic whorls reminded him of the whorls of her scars. "She'll destroy you," Mama Kay said behind him. "She's part of a different world from any you'll ever know."
"I know,"
he said quietly, barely glancing over his shoulder. Mama Kay had come into the room with a new girl, an East Side girl, young and pretty. Mama Kay was combing the girl's blonde hair out. The Modaini Smoking Club was very different from most of the brothels in the city. The courtesans here were trained in the arts of conversation and music as much as the arts of the bedchamber. There was no scandalous dress, no nudity, no groping in the public areas, and no commoners allowed. Mama Kay had found out about Kylar's excursions long ago, of course. You couldn't keep anything secret from Mama Kay. She'd argued with him about it, and still made her comments whenever she happened to be here. But once she'd found out that he wouldn't stop coming, she made him swear that he came into the smoking club and watch from inside. If he was going to be stupid, she said, he might as well be safe. If he went outside, sooner or later he'd bump into the girl and talk to her, and bed her, and fall in love with her, and get himself killed for his defiance. "Don't be shy," Mama Kay said to the girl. "You're soon going to be doing a lot more while a man's in the room than changing your clothes." Kylar didn't turn as he heard the sounds of clothes being shed. Just what he needed. He was depressed already. "I know it's scary your first time, Daedra," Mama Kay said gently. "It's a hard business. Isn't that right, Kylar?"
"It had better be. It doesn't do much when it's soft."
Daedra giggled, more from her nerves than Kylar's cleverness, no doubt. He didn't turn from the barred window. He was soaking his eyes in Eileen. What would her clear brown eyes say as she looked at the girl behind him, preparing for her first client?
"You're going to feel guilty at first, Daedra," Mama Kay said. "Expect it. Ignore it. You're not a slut. You're not a liar. You're an entertainer. Men don't buy a fine Sethi wine because they're thirsty. They buy it because it makes them feel good, and buying it makes them feel good about themselves. That's why they come here, too. Men will always pay for their vices, whether it's wine, or lifting your skirt, or murder," Kylar said, touching the full coin purse and the dagger at his belt. He could almost feel a chill in the air, but Mama Kay ignored him and continued on. "The secret is to decide what you won't sell. Never sell your heart. Some girls won't kiss. Some won't be kept by one man. Some won't perform certain services. I did it all.
but I kept my heart.
Did you?
Kylar said.
Really?
He turned, and his heart jumped into his throat. Through Mama Kay's art, Daedra now looked identical to Eline. Similar build, similar glorious curves, the same glowing gold hair, the same simple servant's dress, similar to everything, but that she was on this side of the bars, close enough to touch. And Eline was out there. Daedra had an uncertain smile, like she couldn't believe how he was talking to Mama Kay. Mama Kay was furious. She swept across the room and grabbed Kylar's ear like he was a naughty little boy. She hauled him out of the room by his ear into the second-story landing. It was full of overstuffed chairs and fine rugs, with a bodyguard sitting in one corner and doors leading to four different courtesans' rooms. Stairs led down to a parlor lined with suggestive but not explicit paintings and leather-bound books. Mama Kay finally released his ear and closed the door behind her quietly.
"Damn you, Kylar! Daedra is terrified already. What the hell are you doing?"
"Telling an ugly truth," he shrugged. "Telling lies, whatever. If I wanted truth, I'd look in the goddamn mirror. This life isn't about truth. It's about making the best of what you've got. This is about that girl, isn't it? That madness. You saved her, Kylar. Now let her go. She owes you everything."
"She owes me her scars."
"You're a damned fool. Have you ever looked at what's happened to all the other girls in your guild? Not even 10 years out, they're drunks and riot weed smokers, cut purses and cripples, beggars and cheap whores, 15-year-old mothers with starving children, or unable to bear children at all because they've used tansy tea so many times. I promise you, Eline's not the only girl from your guild with scars given to her by some twist, but she is the only one with a hope and a future. You gave her that, Kylar."
"I should have."
"The only thing you could have done better was murder that boy earlier, before he did anything to you. If you'd been the kind of child capable of murder, you wouldn't have been the kind of boy who cared what happened to some little girl. The truth is that even if they were your fault, Eline's scars are a small price for the life you've given her."
Kylar turned away. The landing had a window, overlooking the market, too. It was simple glass, clear, neither cut nor colored like the glass in the courtesan's room. It, too, was barred, though with simple straight iron, the bar's edges as sharp as one of Blint's knives. Eline had come closer, and he could see her scars. But then she smiled, and her scars seemed to disappear. How often did girls in the Warrens smile like that? Kylar found himself smiling in response. He felt lighter than he could ever remember. He turned and smiled at Mama Kay.
"I wouldn't have expected to find absolution from you." She didn't smile back.
"It's not absolution. It's reality. And I'm the perfect person to give you that. Besides, you carry guilt as badly as Durzo."
"Durzo?
Durzo never feels guilty about anything," Kylar said.
A flicker of disgust passed over her face. She turned to look at Eline.
"End this farce, Kylar."
"What are you talking about?" "Durzo told you the rules. You can fuck, but you can never love. He doesn't see what you're doing, but I do. You believe you love Eline, so you won't fuck at all. Why don't you get this out of your system?"
Her voice got gentle. "Kylar, you can't have that girl out there. Why don't you take what you can have?
What are you talking about?
Go in to Daedra. She'll thank you for it.
It's on the house. If you're worried because you're inexperienced, she's a virgin too.
Two? Gods! Did Mama Kay have to know everything?
No, Kylar said. No thanks. I'm not interested.
Kylar, what are you waiting for?
Some glorious soul union with that girl out there? It's just fucking. And that's all you get. That's the deal, Kylar, and you knew it when you started.
We all make our deals.
I did. Durzo did. And you did too.
Giving up, Mama Kay gestured to one of her bashers downstairs to let a client through. A hairy, knuckled slob wheezed his way up the stairs. Though richly dressed, he was fat and ugly and foul-smelling and grinning broadly with black teeth. He paused on the landing, licking his lips, a slack-jawed picture of lust.
He nodded to Mama Kay, winked conspiratorially at Kylar, and went into the virgin courtesan's room.
Maybe they were bad deals, Kylar said.
It doesn't matter.
There's no going back.